Welcome to D&D&D, the Dinner Party Role-Playing Podcast. I'm your host and Dungeon Master James Gressel, and with me as always are some fun people. Say hi, fun people.
Hey! We just destroyed James' ears and all of our listeners.
I leaned back.
Oh, no.
I did a stage whisper yell.
Very smart.
Yep. This is not a regularly scheduled...
What was that?
How are the acquisitions going?
Oh my god. Did you post that? Or you
I'll post it last week.
Yes, you'll post it last week.
Two weeks ago.
So today we're going to do another D&D discussion. D&D.
Man, this is good.
This is real good, man.
We should always record this late.
Yeah. Definitely on a weeknight after a work day.
Some beers.
Yeah. Golden. Now, this is our second D&D.
This is our second one because the second one...
Third that we attempted.
Yeah, third that we recorded.
I was going to say...
My fucking God.
Just coming to do this, I felt... a cloud over it because I just remembered. I don't know. I know it makes no sense to be like, that's gonna happen again just because it's a discussion episode. That makes no sense and that's so superstitious. But like,
no, there are no cords for me to trip over this time.
That fucking night.
Oh my God. Think it's a weird feeling. Like existentially to think about.
So we all came together. We recorded for like an hour and a half.
Oh no, it was like over two hours.
It was over 2 hours. Yeah, we went through all of your questions. We called you guys out and thanked you. And we went in depth about wonderful things. And at the end of the recording process, found out that we were basically
just
not
talking to ourselves.
We
were just talking to ourselves and telling each other information we all already know. Like it was like such a crazy weird.
It's like in a movie when you're criticizing a script and you're like, people don't actually talk like that. They're saying stuff they already know. We were those characters.
Yeah.
We were poorly written characters for 2 hours.
It was fun for 2 hours.
Yeah, I still enjoyed it.
We thought
some people were
going to hear it. While it was happening, it was a great time.
Yeah.
And then afterwards,
we were comforting James and Chelsea as they cried in their existential dread.
Right. Especially at that point, too. You guys were so busy. It was just like wasted time.
Yeah, it wasn't like it came out. We found out that nobody listened to it. It was 15 minutes, 5 minutes later after we had finished recording,
worse?
It was like, hey, bad news.
But this time you will get to hear it.
God willing.
And this was at the end of season one and the sting is still there.
Yes. Now it is the end of season two.
Yes.
We have completed the first arc of the big quest. There was what we were calling the big quest in season one, which was off to the beacons, but now there is the big quest, the search for Hank Earthadar.
Wonder what the next one's gonna be. The big quest.
Triple B.
Probably.
Triple B.
I gotta get a second notebook to keep all the quests straight.
Make sure you get a bigger one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So we just...
Such a dad joke.
That was so weird. It's so late.
Jesus. Off to a great start. So we just finished the Raven's Crest quest.
Oh, boy.
The Raven's Quest.
The Raven's Quest.
That sounds like a CD-ROM company.
Isn't it?
Probably.
Ravensburger.
With like a little
like
bird silhouette.
Yeah. Dude, copyright, that's now our production company.
TM.
Pinball game. Like the 90s that everyone
had. That's the sound.
Before we get into listener questions, do you guys have anything you want to say about season two? Any questions you guys have for me?
You're talking to us? You're just gonna
what
plop
was
that
the
in
thing
our laps?
That we derailed the worst?
Yes.
What did what was
you
one of your
split up? That was the thing that you derailed.
Okay,
the worst.
How about this then? What was the second biggest thing that we derailed? Or second A, second B.
Well, here's my question.
Sure.
Fuck you, Mike. I'm sorry.
Well, that's fine. This happens
fuck you,
a
Mike.
Lot. Oh,
go ahead, ask your question.
Well, wow, the dissolution of a relationship.
This is what I
was saying.
I'm having a beer too. Oh no. Oh, I'm forgetting what it was too.
Hey, Gressel, I'll tell you what got me most derailed in season two.
Oh man,
it was 2 minutes ago when I started my sentence and was derailed by my own fiance. And then she forgot what she was going
to
say.
What was supposed to come first? Was it supposed to be talking to what Juno and Margarine did, or what F-Boys and the Z-Man did, as far as like
they were completely different choices. They were completely different choices.
Either could have started.
Either would have happened. It was either you were going to do this like gothic haunted house thing, or you were going to do this political intrigue thing.
Oh, so we had our cake and ate it too.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me want to split up everywhere we go. Because now, now
Fuck
I know
Russell.
That he's got like all these different
Please
don't
kinds
of. Yeah. Yes, let's speedrun this campaign.
Right, that means though, like blowing through all of his content twice as fast because we're doing it all.
I bet he doesn't even repurpose it. He just makes all this stuff up and it's all wasted. And we can't do that. We need.
Yeah,
it.
We need it.
I don't repurpose anything. I have not repurposed a single thing.
I see.
To honor his storytelling, we all have to go on individual journeys in every city we go to.
Oh my God.
And then we just come over and stare him in the eye while we sit there for 2 hours and record one-on-one.
It was weird to have just three of us. That was...
Yeah. What was it, three? Yeah.
Yeah, that was... That
and
was...
when Juno starts going on dates and it's just you and me.
Oh, Christ.
That's a nightmare, and I'm so glad I
wasn't
there.
I haven't been able to listen to all your episodes yet.
Oh, it's you've heard it all. You were there for the table for any of that. Don't worry.
Yeah. There wasn't... Yeah, you're not... Yeah.
Okay.
You're not missing anything. That's not what I mean. You're missing fun stuff. You should listen. But
yeah, I hear that.
I liked yours. Yours were fun.
Oh, thanks, bud.
Back to Mike's question, though.
But yeah, there was also.
Wow. Thanks, bud.
You just slow blinked at me in a way that you guys don't want to ever be slow blinked at.
Unless it's a cat, that shows they love you.
That's true.
Gerber Merbert was a big unexpected thing.
Yeah,
yes. Mm-hmm. We made you invent him.
That was still season two.
Rest in peace, Ross Perot.
Oh my God, that's
right.
Yeah. But also donate to Trump.
So. Yeah, Ross Perot actually kind of sucks. Oh, I mean, that guy was a billionaire, so whatever. Yeah. But
I did kind of get to have my cake and eat it too by doing both of those plot lines. So even though it was a challenge and it did derail things a little bit, that it ended up being fun because I wanted to do both of those.
Mm. Well, perfect.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
there was also the option to pursue things through the church, and you didn't do that.
Because religion is scary.
Wasn't sure what that last word means.
I know, I had to quickly think of what to say. I was like, I shouldn't say what I'm thinking.
Oh, that douchebag
priest, yeah.
Yeah, he never really tried to.
He just kept
that guy was the...
wait on us.
We get questions about best NPC, worst NPC, that guy.
That guy.
He just sat in his office.
Father Horatio
just
sucks.
Stood there and waited for him.
He was so long. He was working with Morgan.
Obviously.
Good for him. Whatever. Yeah.
Beth, you had a question?
No, Mike did.
I'm surprised we didn't kill him. Everyone we interact with, we kill.
There's a question coming up. Which NPC interaction would we change if we wanted? I'll fucking slit that guy's throat.
Kill him.
If I could redo it.
Make that guy laugh himself to death.
Yeah.
Okay, anybody else have anything?
What? Why did you point at me like I had a third question?
We already did your second question?
He's had too many questions.
I've used up my slots.
I see.
Who's your favorite,
rest.
Gressel?
Yeah, at the table. Who's
all
our, who's
my children
favorite?
Equally.
Yeah.
Oh,
this,
how
I just
lie.
Had dinner, and I can't believe how hard this is hitting me.
It's a 4.5%.
Oh, I feel like
beer.
I'm missing out.
I don't know what to tell you, man.
Have a sip of someone.
Liz left some Smirnoff ice in my fridge.
Oh!
Pass that down.
That could work.
Yeah, do you want Smirnoff ice?
Unless Gressel wants to make me something. But
I don't.
No, don't.
Here, you guys keep talking. I'm going to go get this boy.
Yeah, we'll, raspberry. I still don't like beer. Never mind.
Yeah, I figured.
Well, that's also pretty.
It's been a while,
that's
but.
Hoppy.
Yeah, that's a.
That's, yeah.
For
that's
everyone
going
that's listening,
from,
it's a two-hearted ale, an American
what's that
IPA.
Mean?
That means it's the Michigan beer. Best beer.
Yeah.
It's really not. I don't like IPAs.
I don't either.
Our hearts.
I think IPAs are gross.
Part of the making process.
Even like
it's
good IPAs, I don't like them. They're weird.
Would you like to try a Rolling Rock, which is not hoppy?
Sure, yeah, I had a
like
friend
it,
who decided to get into making IPAs and is like, here, try my new IPA. And it's, man, that is like the grossest beer
very
I think
bitter.
I've ever tasted. Yeah, it's like someone's homemade, like I just learned how to make IPAs. IPA is like,
Yeah, the
it's
first
so
the first IPA I made was rough. Let's answer a listener question while James is getting Joel a wine cooler.
He's gonna ice you.
Yay!
You gotta just chug it all.
Oh. When he said he had a Smirnoff ice, I was like, you can't freeze vodka.
Oh my god.
Yeah, what's a good one?
I liked his freeze the one he was asking about if you could redo an NPC interaction if you want.
Oh yeah, we can do that one. Where was that one?
Who says this?
It's probably under NPCs.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. So Mia asks, if you could redo a whole encounter with an NPC, would you?
Oh, would we?
Yes.
Yeah, slit that priest's throat.
Oh. James is back.
He's already
Joel, man. You gotta drink six of these.
Oh no.
No. I mean, it's hard to say because we didn't know what was gonna happen, but I wish that Sharon and Jerry didn't
die.
Oh, yeah. Oh. No, that's for sure mine. Yeah.
Listening to it now, I agree. You guys cared.
Yeah, because they're not bad. They're just kind of
dumb.
Also, I love Russell's voices for them.
I know. Yes. Sharon.
Yes.
I know.
Oh, don't Jerry.
I know.
I thought I was. Is it? I had a drinking.
Speaking
problem.
Of the 2000s.
I did not realize until like the third episode of doing them when Chelsea, you went, Sharon, that it was Ozzy Osbourne. Yeah. And I was devastated.
And I'm really sad they're gone because.
Yeah. Yeah, I even like tried to justify a reason why Flack would try to save them. It's like, they might be useful. I just didn't want them to die.
I also think, though, it makes sense for Flack just to be like, they're interesting. So they're worth saving. They're fun to have around.
I think I would have I wish I would have gotten to know Stoworth a little more. Like I liked Stoworth,
he's not dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're leaving town. There's not a lot of catch up time.
That's true.
And we got his phone number probably. Yeah. I don't like the word the wording on that specifically says if you could go back and change it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to. It's really exciting to do an improvised podcast with everybody and like deal with the consequences of making that you make when things go wrong. And I don't want to change it.
You know what I would change? I would press harder on trying to hook up Kiff with someone in the bar. Back in episode
God
one.
Damn it.
That's the one.
I think I've said before. Yeah, you're just needling me. This is my biggest regret of the podcast that I didn't yes and
so
that
much
bit.
From it, though.
I know. I really did.
Gerbert Merbert doesn't exist without that happening.
That's true. That's 100% true. If I had yes anded that, then we wouldn't have Gerbert.
Really?
Or Carebert.
Like,
yeah.
Like, Russell's excitement about getting on board with ideas that we have coming from being upset about how that scene went. Like, that's what led to our lizard realtor.
Yeah.
Got it.
Britt, we're just going to stick on NPCs. Britt asks, which NPC do you like, do you enjoy playing the most or hope to get to play again? I love all your NPCs. They feel like full characters in their own stories.
That's true.
It is true.
Mm. I hope that I hope you feel that way. I really try to think about what my NPCs' lives are outside of the story so that they have their own kind of motivations. Like with Stokeworth and the picture of the woman that you don't know about and stuff like that. So like Greg Rivers has this whole plot line that's barely hinted at. That's this whole big thing.
Who's secretly a murderer we never suspect?
Oh, like everyone in the D&D world.
Who's secretly a murderer that you don't expect?
Yeah, like
Gallagher the bartender.
Oh!
No.
I can see it.
No, he is, though, because he's got his giant hammer that's like
that's
from
true.
His old
that's
wartime.
True. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's different.
Is it?
During wartime, it's just war.
I thought it was for war melons.
My favorite NPC to play is Khoirim.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sure.
I love Khoirim.
I also really like Nils Askandauer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another interaction I'd never change.
Really good high status character, Nils.
Thank you.
Yeah. I like him.
A couple people, Noah and Madeline, asked about your favorite NPCs.
Jason.
Gerbert Mertbert.
I mean, I love Marta, obviously, because she is basically part of my character at this point.
Yeah, that's true.
Gerbert's up there, and who has the Kiwi accent?
Oh, Borst.
Oh my god.
Oh my
Borst.
Gosh.
I love Borst.
There's a few characters who have the Kiwi accent, I think, right? Or is it just Borst?
I think it's just Borst.
It's just, well, there were a couple characters that it was that ended up with that accent.
Okay. There is a character, because I play Elder Scrolls Online, and there is a very minor character that I will play clips of him for you, but I was dying because it is literally your your Kiwi NPC really? Voice. Just like this one specific little character. I'll find clips later. It's like this. It's a talking skull. I forget what his name is. If you play that and you're wondering what the fuck I'm talking about.
I really loved the bard in the bathhouse.
I was going to say the Thieves Guild.
Oh, yeah.
Was it the Thieves Guild? Or
at the Guild Hall.
Yeah. The Guild Hall.
Yeah, yeah.
I really
liked just like you could bribe him and he'd be quiet. Yeah. And he'd like kind of help out here
he
and there.
Along
just a working man.
Yeah. I love him.
Yeah.
And then Gerbert, obviously. Gerbert was clutch.
And Jason, Jason's dope.
Thank you.
Jason?
Yeah.
He was. The devil man?
He was.
Yeah,
he was dope. Monster. And then he died. Definitively.
Yeah. Or not. Or there's still a glimmer of hope.
Let's go from NPCs to your characters. So for Mike and James, are there any buddy moments that you have loved the most this season? Lots of F-boys this season, and it was hysterical. This is from Gunner, longtime fan Gunner.
Oh, Gunner. For sure.
Thank you. That bathhouse scene for
me. Yeah, the bathhouse, because it kind of kicked it all off.
Yeah, it was the bathhouse and then the gambling, the sports gambling.
Yeah, betting on the fucking like practicing jousters.
And then trying to get a, that was just, the bathhouse was just like, what is happening right now? It was so uncomfortable and so weird. And for my character, it was completely, completely foreign. And it was fun.
I love Lenny Woodclaw.
Yes.
Oh God, Lenny Woodclaw. Your voice is so good.
That's my favorite voice from the show.
I forgot.
Yeah.
Did we talk about where that came from? I think we talked about it on the episode.
I think so.
What was
the
voice?
Oh, it was like
Russia.
It was this, an imitation of a Polish, and I'm doing air quotes, a Polish what was it? A Polish
like a,
voice
on Twitch.
Oh, that's right.
It's like
who
a robot
reads
that reads your messages with a Polish accent.
And I think also that guy and then a little mix with the guy from Frozen in the bathhouse where he's it's just like, I have no idea what I'm doing here. I can't even remember it.
Such a specific moment in our lives, too. Oh, I love it.
Great inspiration. So thank you, whatever Polish man did that. Great inspiration.
For Juno, does Juno have alcoholic milk a la Chateau Romani from Majora's Mask? This is from Garrett.
I gotta think yes, because if like Tormund on Game of Thrones has this like sour
like fermented
goat's milk. I'm sure
it's so disgusting.
This is not something I could or would enjoy in real life, but I'm sure that in his kingdom, which is now gone, so I don't know that it's being made anymore, but I'm sure like this was something served in bars and people had their own like private reserves.
Yeah,
I'm sure I think Juno's family, his dad probably had his own.
From Alex, this is a fun question. I hope you guys thought about this one. The DM for my campaign gives us a fun project where we have to create and share playlists based on our characters. What is at least one song, only one song, we don't have to get into a whole thing, that would be on your character's playlist?
I love
Eye of the Tiger.
Great.
Definitely Always by Erasure. You know what song I'm talking about? If you don't, look it up and the accompanying music video and it'll make complete sense.
Oh my god, that's so good.
Yeah,
I think mine would be that one song, and I don't remember the artist right now, but it's Knock on Wood. It's like thunder
lightning.
Better knock. I'm wood. Thunder and lightning.
That's a disco song.
Yeah,
I forget who does that. It's
I would dance to it.
I forget who does that.
I know, I can't remember.
Yeah.
I'll amend mine. Eye of the Tiger, if space is an issue, if I have if Flack has a big enough MP3 player, 2112.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Got some cool riffs in there. Tells a cool story.
Flack, we kind of have established Flack as this kind of like heavy metal, like the cartoon heavy metal, like kind of attitude a little bit.
Maybe a little.
Yeah.
Metal, dude. You start talking about metal?
No. But the cartoon heavy metal wasn't really metal. Like down, like
cartoon heavy metal.
Like the fucking tension. Like no.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You haven't seen heavy metal?
No.
We'll talk about it later. But Don Felder from the Eagles did the soundtrack, so it is not metal.
Oh, hey, Joe Walsh was at Paul McCartney also.
I know.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even say that.
I've seen Joe Walsh.
Okay, good.
I want to make an amendment. Knock on Wood is a song by Amy Stewart.
Yes.
It's a good fucking song.
I haven't heard it since I was a kid, but I'm going to listen to it tonight.
I know. I was like, oh, shit.
That's a fun one.
Joel, Beth, do you guys have songs?
Yeah, I think when we first met Juno, when he was like in his real dark days, it would have been Behind Blue Eyes by The Who. But now I think it's like a little lighter. I think it's like Under Pressure.
And mine's 50 Cent's Candy Shop.
Yay!
Yes. That is perfect.
That's good.
Nice.
Oh, that's man. Great. I want to make a Zabbit in my free time, which I don't have right now, but maybe in my procrastination time, which I can make time for. I'll make a Zabbit's playlist and make it public and like, put it on the subreddit.
Yeah,
iTunes used to have like artists like make their own playlists.
Have Zabbis's playlist start with Aleister Black's entrance music.
Yes. Oh, Zabbis loves Aleister Black.
Mr. Crowley by Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah. Oh, what the that song from the Can't Guess My Name.
Sympathy for the Devil.
Definitely that.
Russell,
song.
What would Gerber Merbert's playlist start with?
Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Yes. Literally so much ZZ Top.
It'd be Legs by ZZ Top.
I need you listeners to know that James did not edit that at all. He immediately
knew.
That
was very fast. I'm surprised how quick that was. That was
Tush is the better. Yeah.
Oh my god.
I've seen ZZ Top.
More ZZ
a few
Top
times
laughs
in
the butt. Oh, it's beard.
Russell, what about Jason?
Oh, yeah,
what about Jason?
Oh, dude, Jason is so
Jason
into Papa
would
Roach.
Listen to Womanizer. Oh, I was gonna say Womanizer by Britney Spears. I feel like Jason likes.
No, that's the, he doesn't let people know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. When he rolls up the windows, it's Womanizer. Yeah. Oh god, when he's at a red light, it's fucking.
He's like
that
cop who sings to the Taylor Swift song.
No,
and then gets quiet every time someone looks in the car.
This is a super shitty movie that I'm sure none of you have seen. But have any of you seen Hudson Hawk with Bruce Willis?
No,
I've heard of it.
So they time their like heists in that movie to like the length of like like shitty like lounge singer songs. And that would very much be Jason. Like, we have 4 minutes and 18 seconds. Oh, I guess Baby Driver did that, too.
Yeah.
Baby Driver was awesome.
But, like, Baby Driver didn't have crooner songs in it.
No.
You didn't like
mercifully, it didn't have crooner songs in it.
I love crooner songs.
Characters.
There's no worse genre of music than lounge music.
Great and awesome. Amazing.
I love it. I have such shit taste in music, you guys. You'll notice in this podcast, whenever everybody gets on like a run about music genres, I just am dead silent.
Same with me.
Oh, you know who else Zabbis likes is Foxy Shazam.
Oh,
that's a name
because,
of a person.
Foxy. Again, Google what.
Do you know Foxy?
What the lead singer looks like, and it's like, oh, that's what Zabbis.
One music video starts with his ass getting like slapped in slow motion.
You ready,
it's fucking
guys?
Great.
This is me trying to participate. Is that the song that's in that one movie? Where the two guys are into rock bands, and it's a comedy. And
I Love You, Man?
No.
Oh.
Fuck.
No, that's Rush.
Mike, help me.
I don't think Foxy would be in a movie. They
Foxy,
were
it's a song, and there's a guy with
blonde
hair,
World.
And he Wayne's World.
Oh, no.
That's Foxy Lady by Jimi Hendrix.
Foxy
Lady.
Which also could be
on Call Black Magic Woman.
That's I'm beat red right now.
Beth be red.
Yeah.
Let's move into another category.
There was a question that I feel like would be a good
pick one.
I know I lost it though.
Pick it, Michael.
This is what the singer from Foxy Shazam looks like. It's just what Zabbis wants. If Zabbis was a rock star, this is like what Zabbis would look
Foxy
like.
Foxy has that singer has major phone.
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
it's like white Prince.
He has what?
Freddie Mercury.
Oh,
When Doves Cry would also. I feel like could
lots
be a,
of Prince.
Yeah, lots
oh my
of Prince.
God, Purple Rain.
Yeah.
Purple Rain makes Zabbis cry. It makes me cry too.
I'm gonna pick a question that I think fits the crazy loose structure of this discussion so far. what do you use to record six people at once? That setup editing has to be a nightmare. This is from Garrett. Yeah, it is.
Wow. Russell thinks we're a nightmare.
I honestly can't imagine because I edit our podcast every week, and sometimes even just tracks, having a third person in there is, I feel like it's exponentially more work. So,
we have a 8-track preamp and an 8-track recorder that we record 6 tracks into, and then I edit in Adobe Audition.
And we figured out quick systems so that we're not manually adjusting everyone's levels.
Yes, yes. We've through trial and error.
Who gets added? Who gets decreased?
Oh, good question.
Everybody gets punched up now.
Okay.
Because I record a lot lower now with a lot more pad than we used to.
Who gets punched up the most?
Mike.
Yeah.
Mike, you quiet little fuck.
Well, it's his bassy ass voice.
Our podcast too, your audio is always lower.
Oh,
than
yeah.
Because
yeah.
you get louder. Voices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The resonance.
They come through.
I found the question today.
What's a question?
It was leading from the music question. What do you think is the craziest modern thing that you have referenced?
Oh, this is a good one.
That's been made into canon.
The Simpsons is canon.
The Simpsons is canon.
Really?
Why?
It was because of you.
When did that?
I know. Wait, what was it? Oh wait, that's right.
Yeah, what episode was it referenced?
It was recent. It was literally our last one.
It was a specific
incident. You guys are by yourself.
Was it the wax in the mouth for the hot peppers, or no? It was the blowfish that had to be cut a certain way.
That's right. What the fuck? I still haven't listened to your episodes, and both of those references are just so wild.
Mulder and Scully are also canon.
Because the Fox lineup is Gallagher
being canon from really early on is super
Gallagher.
Weird.
I think the Batman transition.
Oh my god!
Because we do have the Fraser brothers as gods.
Yeah,
they just
that's
look like the Fraser brothers.
I don't know. I think in
if
episode,
if I could do the voices, they'd be Kelsey Grammer and David Hyde Pierce for sure.
It.
Those voices.
Yeah,
I wanted them to come
again,
back.
Again. Two of my favorite Simpsons voices.
Ooh, spoilers! You heard it here first.
They're still part of the story. They did come back. They were mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they were in one of the visions.
Yeah,
one of you. Y'all
Sabas put on a weird ass mask.
Yeah, and we still don't quite know what that does. But if it's your peak best life is my guess, then my best life is me just hanging out with the devil and the Fraser Brothers.
Or you ascend and you're a god.
That's cool.
Zabbis is a god.
Boy.
No one wants that.
I'm scared of that.
Kind of going off of this where some of you know stuff and others don't. When the team was separated, did the timeline match up with both plots? Meaning when Pete disappeared from one side of the story, did he instantly appear in the other? Or was there some period of time he was just chilling in the void? This is from Tsipora.
Answer it.
I hope I am pronouncing that correctly. Kind of. The timelines, if you were to play them back to back and try to line up the time of day, it's not one to one completely. But as far as Pete is concerned, when he disappeared in the office of the quartermaster, he reappeared in the bathtub. There was no gap for Pete. But what it was magically is that his greatest desire was to return to Fletch at a time of need, which he did.
Good kitty. Good, so, there wasn't a gap. It wasn't the jaunt James where Pete's just in that midspace for infinity and goes crazy.
That'll fuck you up.
There was that time travel show that a bunch of people from the future went to the past, but all of them got placed in the ocean a mile deep.
Oh.
Instead of where they thought they were going to be. So
fuck?
A bunch of people died.
All I can think
stuff.
Of is Sliders. did that happen on Sliders? I don't know. Ooh, that's scary.
Yeah, I love time travel.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, thank goodness Pete was there.
I hope it all worked for you listeners. I'm pretty happy with how the split plots lined up.
I thought that was a lot of fun.
I love the places where now listening to it, I could see the overlap, them going or looking in the portal that they could see where Meldir and Bumbaton just were, and then we caused the fire that they saw. You did that very well.
Thank you. I was really happy with that. There were a couple moments where I was I patted myself on the back, and that was one of them, and the other ones when Marjorie found the black vial.
Yeah.
That was I was yes.
Confirm that, the fire was you guys though.
No. It was Morgan. Okay.
It was what?
Remember when you guys fought Morgan and she had the fire whip?
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Okay.
But we did cause her to use it.
That's right. True.
Well, it wasn't me, so.
We did get attacked by her, so.
Specifically, Juno got attacked
as long
by
as
her.
It wasn't me this time.
I think there was a question about that. About that
about
black
the vial.
Vial.
Yeah, right here. Oh, okay. How much do you plan and how much is improv? For example, did the vial of black liquid exist in the saddlebag before Marge reached in there or no? And that's from Garrett.
In this specific quest, yes, it did. This one was actually pretty well plotted ahead of time. There was a lot of stuff that was completely improvised. But a lot of that plot was written. So yeah, there the black vial was in the saddlebag for you to search and find.
And I thought, little peek behind the curtain for Margarine, I thought that the black vial was the same stuff that was used to poison Jason Chone and or to like create a very, very black space where no mm-hmm. one could see anything. And so I was waiting for a moment where we, Juno and I, had to like get out of a place really quickly, and I was gonna crack that black vial on the floor. But it never ended up needing to happen, which was fortunate because it wouldn't have done
so good. Anticlimactic.
I don't think it would have done
almost
anything.
Almost as anticlimactic as us putting a flower crown on a dead body and really hoping that it would resurrect.
There was so much debate.
Oh my God. That's what gave you the hiccups. Can we just Batman transition that to be able to walk downstairs?
Oh God.
Probably one of the funniest things.
We were saying that was the closest we've come to like having a Venture Brothers gag happen on the podcast.
Yeah, it definitely was. That was very, very Venture.
Left.
From that, I guess we can go to this one. What is your favorite ways that you've subverted Gressel's expectations while playing? This is from Liz.
Thanks, Liz.
Marta's up there.
I was going to say Marta right now. Because
sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to fuck with that bone and then...
all right. Well...
Marta's fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you for Marta.
Marta, Gerbert.
Marta,
the
Gerbert.
Guild Hall, the whole Guild Hall was just like, what are you guys doing? And me just laying down track as we're going.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
It felt so
smooth. Wait, who did we fight that we were really supposed to not fight? Was that the Guild Hall?
Shadowfell agents.
The guy
that's
who
what you're calling
them.
You don't know if that's
I
what they
that's,
are.
Oh, I
yeah, so Marjorie and Juno fought Meldare and the Gray Lady.
Yeah, not supposed to fight them.
No.
And then you also were not supposed to fight the albino and
the
his...
Shadow Hand?
Yeah.
Shadow Hands.
Yeah, the Shadow
Hands. Like a level 6 fighting a level 90.
Yeah.
It's like... Hey, I'm going to get you. And they're like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
Just poof out of there.
That's how crimes happen.
Anytime we can get Gressel to put his hand or his head in his hands and just shake his head.
Which I got to say, you guys do so much better than I do. Some of the players at the table, you guys, some of them are out for blood when it comes to Gressel's DMing.
I'm inspired. I want to do it more.
Yeah.
Great. Oh, great. No, but really, actually, great. we're kind of riding this train a little bit. How often do you guys talk about the campaign outside of the podcast? Gressel mentioned in episode 56 that you haven't talked about it during the split party episodes, but do you normally talk about it off camera?
Beth and I will have talks about
decompression
this is fun
talks.
And talk about that, but like as a group, I don't think
we have a Facebook chat. It is one of 1,000 different permutations of our friend group's Facebook chat, but there is one specifically with the 6 of us.
Beth actually shared it on Twitter recently.
Oh,
a couple screenshot of it.
You're not invited, but I can share screenshots.
It's out there, but no one's invited.
You can't join the chat.
No,
sorry.
Don't feel
absolutely
bad.
Not.
No one's invited.
Feel bad. It's a pretty good chat.
That's true.
But it's all after the fact stuff. Like,
it's scheduling.
Usually what happens is it's scheduling, and then when I'm editing, I will message to say, you guys are so funny.
Yeah, that's always fun to get.
Basically, what
same when I'm doing like notes listening. I'll be like, oh, Fletch was really good here.
When I'm editing, editing, and then when Joel does his notes pass, that's when we'll talk about like what we recorded, but nothing's ever planned.
I mean, I always respond to those, but I always appreciate them. It makes me feel good, and it's encouragement to keep me going. So
well, you should feel good. You're very funny.
Oh, thank you.
I think also not talking about it helps us when we sit down. We're just like, all right, we haven't talked anything out.
So we don't like accidentally pre-plan what we're going to do.
Like, yeah, I'm going to say this, or I'm going to do this.
And even sometimes after we stop recording at the end of a session, we'll all start talking about like our theories and what we think might happen. And I'm starting to stop doing that because it's so much more fun to do it on mic and have it be more live for everybody.
Yeah, and I think we can actually lead into another question about I don't have it up. It's about recording this season. Maybe you guys can
Since your recording date and episodes are a lot closer than in season one, is it easier or more fun to talk about the stuff with fans or to each other in general? I imagine it's lots easier to remember things since recording and release dates aren't months apart like they were for season one. But you don't have to worry about giving... plus, you don't have to worry about giving spoilers away while recording. I assume it doesn't happen as far as advance. This is from Madeline.
Thank you, Madeline.
Thanks, Mad.
Yeah, things are a lot fresher. We've also recorded a lot more consistently.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I much prefer doing it with the release schedule. Like doing it how we have season two versus season one.
The most lead time we've had this season for an episode, I think, is like maybe a month. When before it was like a full year.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, whatever works best for you. As the editor and producer.
This is better.
Okay.
This is better. This is better. It's more immediate. I feel like we're not losing track of things. It also doesn't give me time enough to overthink stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Which is, which was a really big issue for me in the middle of season one. Like, once you guys went off with Corum, I got, like, really in my head about, like, oh, this has to be really good.
And you, like, stopped doing voices. There was a lot going on.
Well, I stopped doing voices because I got super embarrassed by Borst.
Borst is the best.
Yeah, he's the best.
I'm more willing to try stuff now with voices. Jerry and Sharon peak among them.
I thought Peekamunga was a character who I had missed.
Peekamunga.
Peekamunga. It's the next city we're going to.
What's the not Rhinosaur, but there was one like...
Oh, Dinotaur?
Dinotaur.
Yeah,
the Dinosaur Centaur. That
Dinotaur.
Will now have to come up at some point. but this is much better. I do think this has improved the quality of the show. I really like where we're at right now.
It's a ton of fun to talk with fans live. Like both on Twitter and also on my Twitch. If you've ever been in my chat, then you know that we're almost always going back and forth about the podcast.
Speaking of, Luke asks, one, would you ever consider doing a live Q&A on Twitch? And two, have you ever considered streaming your sessions on Twitch, like how Beth streams on her channel? Plenty of listeners would love to donate and contribute to the expense of dinners and things through Twitch.
That's terrifying.
I would do it.
I would do it.
But it's a different product.
I would not do this story. I wouldn't do a canonical episode of the show.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Mm.
Yeah.
Because then it's not just me sitting here hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm streaming. And
like,
that's
we look real
different...
fucking schlubby right now, guys.
Three of us are wearing baseball hats.
Yeah, half of us have fucking hats on.
Decide who like, in your head.
D&D's like my comfy time. Like, I don't have to look good at all when I show up for this.
Yeah, you took a picture from like one of the first couple recording sessions, and I'm in like a bath towel.
Yeah. I walk here barefoot sometimes.
Yeah.
Like... I don't know. I don't want to.
I would still do it, though.
It would have to be a very special thing, though. And it would more likely be some sort of one shot or something.
Yeah. I would do that.
I think I'd feel more comfortable doing like this kind of thing. Like, hey, viewers, do you have questions?
Yeah.
I would definitely live.
Yeah.
That way we can just like be fully committed to the stream rather than like have to perform. For a stream,
be
but
visually
also
interesting.
Yeah, it's like splitting ourselves off a couple times.
I see.
Yeah.
But we are tough. We appreciate it, and we are thinking of ways that you can support the show.
Yes. If you listen to last week's episode, where we announced that we are launching a Patreon for the show.
Ow! Nice.
Oh, yes.
So you can go to, is it patreon.com/dndpod? Is that what it is?
So, yeah.
And there are a few different tiers of rewards that you can sign up for if you are kind enough to contribute a monthly contribution to the show. There's some really cool ones. You can get access to some of our notes and character sheets. Somebody else asked about the character sheets. Noah asked, would you show everyone's character sheets?
Our inventories and things.
Yeah,
too.
Inventories and things. Cool. And notes. Yes. If you are generous enough to become a patron, you can see that stuff. You'll get early access to the episodes, you'll get some early releases, you'll get some really cool recipe cards for the dinners featuring recipes from me and some art from Beth.
Hey, I'm going to make a decision right now.
Okay.
If you do, I'll figure out like what levels and everything, but if you do the D&D Patreon, I'll also send like Dead Meat Patreon rewards your way. So if you're a patron of Dead Meat and you're like, I can't afford to do two, do the D&D one and I'll still give you the equivalent Dead Meat rewards.
Oh, so people see it. Awesome.
Wow. Yeah. That's really fun
and
cool.
Because for sure. I'd rather have D&D get that support. So
at the matching level.
Yeah, the matching level.
Yeah. That's really fucking cool.
That's so nice.
Yeah. Oh,
thank you, buddy.
That's great.
I mean, you cook us such good food.
Thank you. And this will be paying for that.
You know,
it
could also be a fun gift level. Is like at a certain level, we could do like custom recorded messages as like characters.
Oh, in character.
Oh, yeah,
that's a good idea. Yeah.
There's another reward level where you got. I don't know if you guys
know about
this.
Oh. It's very exciting.
So this is a reveal for you.
Ooh.
I forget at what level it will be, but you can go to patreon.com/dndpod to find out. We're going to have listeners have some influence into your mansion.
Yeah,
that's fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So there will be monthly polls. Different things will occur at the former Brevrisk mansion.
Give us a hot pool.
Oh, yes.
And you will be able to influence what happens to the reconstruction of the mansion.
That's so fun.
And
that's
awesome. So good. You'll find out how that news will be delivered to you guys, but I'm really excited for that mechanic
as
well.
I'm hoping a return of Gerbert. And maybe Carebert.
The Mertbert family will be involved.
Beth had this idea.
It was
so
fantastic.
Good.
Oh, wait. So it's a surprise just for us? Did you know? You knew. Mike knew.
Surprise. I'm still excited.
And then perhaps my favorite reward is at if you join at the $20 a month level, every 3 months, quarterly, you will get a patron exclusive T-shirt. Designed
oh, nice.
By Beth.
T-shirt club.
T-shirt club.
Only available to patrons.
Only available to patrons.
And only That's available cool. for those 3 months
yes.
at a time.
Yes. It is an exclusive limited edition release that will be germane to whatever's going on.
Oh, that's so fun. Venture Brothers does that. Mm-hmm. And I have one of the T-shirt club shirts from them. And like, I cherish it. Because they're limited edition.
They're real cool.
So patreon.com/dndpod. Thank you to everybody who maybe is already supporting us when this comes out. So, James, you mentioned Dead Meat, of course, the channel that you and Chelsea have.
Yeah.
That is great and very successful.
Right.
So we have a question. We have a question from Noah, who I think is also a Dead Meat fan. And he asks you, from memory, what kill through the campaign would you give the golden chainsaw?
Nice.
I know which one I would give it to.
So I've thought about this, and it depends on how the kills were done. Okay? If we had nice practical effects, you know?
Oh, that does change things.
It changes it, yeah.
Yeah.
Assuming we had some sweet practical effects, maybe by the guy who did Terrifier, if you really want to get crazy with it. Or even just like, shit. I don't know, break Rob Bottin out of retirement, whatever.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Definitely the teleporting kill, like, that decapitates. Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's real cool. But if that was done in CG and it looked shitty, like a fucking My Bloody Valentine 3D decapitation with a shovel bullshit, then I would give the golden chainsaw to the laughing, drowning death. Okay. Because it's so creative and fun.
Yeah, are both those yours?
They are. Oh, yes. Okay. I was just assuming that it would be one of my kills.
Yeah, the most gruesome kills are flat kills, because the other one that I was thinking of when you said practical effects, what I thought of was when you killed Hunter the Thief.
The throw slit in the alley. Yeah. I mean, depending on how they did it.
Yeah.
That was like it would probably be a spray for sure.
Yeah.
My thought was the guy that we lit on, made light himself on fire. Was another like.
Yeah, that's gruesome too.
That's like fire. That basically happens in
Oz. Who was that?
That was the Goop Group.
Yeah, Goop Group. One of the Goops.
Oh, God, that's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You'll listen and find out.
Yeah. Dole Machete for Lame's Kill will definitely go to Share Jare.
Oh. Yeah.
We're just
so mad that they die.
Yeah.
You tried to rescue them, though.
I kind of blame you a little bit, Fletch. You got out of the tub.
I tried to save them, but I had zero stats. All of my stats were. Right. I initially dove in to save and almost drowned. I only survived because of Pete.
All right, that's fair. That's fair.
So
I take it back. I'm sorry.
Had I been my normal self, I probably would have been okay.
This kind of builds off of that, since we're talking about like effects and stuff. If you could pick a moment to have drawn or animated and visualized, what would it be? This is from Mia.
Oh my God, I really want to see. That's fine, but I wasn't there. So I really want to see everybody's like alter egos in the guild hall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see it before, a dressing montage, and then the after of everybody in the
guild hall. Was a very venture episode, too.
Yeah, that was
it kind of was. I mean, I would love to see the Batman transition.
Holy shit. Seriously? Okay, I know that at least a couple of people have made some animatics. Please do it of the bat signal into us dumping the naked body back into the dog kennel to be eaten again.
Yeah.
Just because that plan didn't work. Do the D&D.
Yeah. But like, oh, God, that was so funny.
Yeah.
And killed me.
Yeah, we can share that as a transparent PNG if people want to use it.
Yeah. Oh, good idea, Beth.
Yeah, nice. Good call.
I would really like to see Landa and Jason when they're like matching wits during the whole Juno
in the middle of the town
ruse. Before that in season one
when bar?
The first ruse of Ganda in the
yeah,
bar
yeah I'd love
the,
to see the okay. Christ that's that'd be fun
with the husband and
yeah.
What I wanted to see is when we're talking to Gerber and then fucking Joel comes in, what are you saying? oh my god
Joel has the
gator tooth necklace.
Now where'd y'all get that?
Yeah, that
don't fleece me good. God, I love him.
Oh, Gerber.
Maybe like the intro to Gerber Merbert, where we like burst into the realtor office and like he's just like shocked, or like, well, no, I guess it would be Kerbert, and like just that whole interaction could be fun.
Some of the times I laugh the most listening, though, aren't things that I can just like pluck up from memory. It's just the weird cadence or delivery. Honestly, mostly Chelsea. Fucking, I'll be listening and just die laughing.
Every Zavis line.
Oh, there are some just gems from Chelsea.
Oh,
The like Zavis takes the hug is very, very good. It's very, very good.
That's from Juno.
Yeah. When you all do get back together and everybody's like high fiving and stuff.
That's right.
Yeah. Like Zabbis in Risk and Rewards, like Feast Hall, where he's just like, yeah, I'm good.
Oh, yeah. No one has been turned into an anime.
Yeah.
And that moment is so much better because it's been immortalized in that anime. And I always think back to it.
I want to compile all of those somewhere, like make a YouTube playlist.
That's
or
so
something.
Funny, man.
We should make a YouTube playlist and then post it on the Reddit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Get that Reddit bumping, dude.
Oh, I want to say that Adam Ingram also asked about the recording schedule when we talked about it earlier. And he says, also, I got my friends Kayla, Jeremiah, and Kaylee
into the show. So if you're in the mood to do some shout outs, that would be pretty cool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Kayla, Jeremiah, and Katie.
We Kaylee. See you.
Hey, Kayla.
Kayla and Kaylee.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
That's not, that's less confusing than Flatch and Fleck.
Yeah.
Did you say K-girls. Flatch?
Flatch. Flatch and Fleck.
Yep.
Our favorite characters.
What you fucking say when we got back together? It's like Zemo and Moogie.
Oh god, you got that the was names so wrong. Fun. It was very good. That was such a fantastic joke.
Fuck, I don't remember it. What was it?
It was. Oh shit.
Was in this most recent episode?
It was the beginning of that session. It was when we first started recording again. It was like I love like. Whatever, it doesn't matter. It was very good.
Catch up.
Garrett asked, how can I make D&D more accessible to my non-nerdy friends?
I mean, I think if you have like a firm grasp of the rules of it, like, and Gressel does this too, like just pick and choose what rules you want to follow. I think that'll help too. Because I think if you get into it and it's, people have never played it before, and they're not particularly nerdy either. Like, keeping track of really minuscule things is really going to put someone off, I think. You know, just focus on, like, the fun, like, what makes it funny, what make, you know, making the characters is fun. You don't necessarily have to theme it, like, fantasy either.
Right. So there are many more games than just D&D out there.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like, Marvel is one of the most popular movie franchises out. You can do a superhero campaign. You could maybe mold it off of D&D, but there's the Fate system, and Monster of the Week.
Powered by the Apocalypse.
Yeah. There's a lot of different resources out there to find the right kind of game for people who are, quote unquote, not nerdy. Because everybody's a little bit nerdy. Everybody's got something they're interested in. There's sports D&D stuff.
Yeah, you could... sports is just D&D.
I think there are certain people who, no matter what, would not be down to D&D.
Well, I think here's where a lot of people get caught up. Because, like, if you're listening to, like, our show, or, like, to a greater extent where there's professional voice actors, like Critical Role or something, you know, don't hold your game to that standard necessarily. Yeah. Like, you need to make your table what's good for your table.
Yeah.
You know, like, so that the people that you're sitting around the table with are having fun. And maybe that's not like an immersive role play thing. Maybe that's more like just making decisions and rolling dice to see what happens, and more of a kind of traditional board game experience, you know? And it doesn't necessarily have to be this like long form storytelling thing. You can do one shots. That you can do a complete thing in a couple hours. You can do one shots that have nothing to do with D&D, like Honey Heist or something.
Yeah, and if you're intimidated by maybe putting together an entire story from scratch, pick up a game like Tales from the Arabian Nights, which is a board game that a couple of us here have played, a couple haven't, that basically you can be Aladdin, and then you have these two books, and one of them gives you... like, you run into a zombie. He's a sexy zombie, a gross zombie, a bad zombie, a good zombie. And depending on which one of those it is, you end up like you can hang out with the zombie, you can fight the zombie, you could, like, there's a list of options.
What?
Tales it's from the Arabian Nights. Yes.
I think a game like that, or a game like
it gives you like a guide to play, and then you can open it up to like, hey, did you guys have fun with that? Yes or no? If you did, then we can maybe run a D&D campaign.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think a game like that, or Betrayal at House on the Hill, or Dead of Winter.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That are a little bit more like involved kind of board games, but aren't dependent on like the
imagination in the moment.
Yeah. And there's also, if you are ready to make the jump into D&D, there's a bunch of amazing, amazing pre-written D&D content out there from Wizards of the Coast. The D&D starter set comes with Lost Mines of Phandelver, which is a great adventure that takes you from level 1 to 5. It's really fun. It's really interesting and cool, and it's a great intro to what the game is. There's so many out there. That's a great way to get into DMing if you're a first-time DM. It's a great way to introduce people to the game, because you don't have to worry about creating a world from nothing. You know, I've been playing D&D for on and off for 20 years. Like, there's, you know, it's not something that is easy to do, to make something up from nothing if you're not, you know, practice at it. So there's a lot of entry points, but I think Beth made a great point. One of those more complicated games is a really good one. And yeah, finding something that works for your friends, you know, if they're not into elves and dwarves and swords and sorcery, you know, do a steampunk thing or do superheroes or do
dogs. Everybody's dogs.
Yeah. Everybody's dogs. Yeah, and you're trying to get bones or something.
His non-nerdy friends will love that.
Yeah. There is one that I think I saw this idea on Reddit, but someone did a campaign where everyone was like very tiny, and the whole adventure was on, like in a kitchen.
Honey, I Shrunk the
Rats. Yeah, D-Rats.
Yeah, that was a joke from Mike.
There's Counter-Strike 1.3, 1.6.
There's a game system out now that's basically Stranger Things. I forget what it's called, but
that one,
sure. It's like Kids on Bikes or something, I think it's called.
Fun.
Like,
there you go.
Kids on Bikes. Do do Kids on Bikes. Do do.
It's
gorillas.
We've kind of touched on most of the questions that aren't specifically for me.
what about this grim question from Bloodbane?
Bloodbane.
Have any of you thought about replacement characters in case your character dies in the game?
Yo, if I die, I'm going home. I'm busy.
I remember at the end of season one.
that's very true.
At the end of season one, we talked about like, would we be okay with our characters dying? And I was like, yeah, I'd be fine with Flack dying. But then I like Flack a lot more now than then.
Yeah, that's how I feel about Seven.
Yeah, I remember you and I talking about it.
At the start of season two, I was real close to being like, Gressel, let's kill Flack off. Let's not tell the others. Let's kill Flack in a big surprise, and I'll come back as like a different character. But like, I just want like a new start. But then I kind of like found Flack a little better.
Yeah.
And I'm more attached to him now. But there was a point where I was like, let's just fuck with everyone and kill Flack. But no, I haven't. Even at that point, I didn't think of what the next character would be.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, Gressel has hinted that he wouldn't pull punches.
No, there are stakes. If somebody dies, somebody dies.
Well, yeah. I think that now that we've resurrected Marta, if we take somebody's bones, we may be able to turn it into a ghost or something.
That would be a weird way to keep somebody part of the game.
Yes, it would.
Right. Ghost, like,
Savas just collects everybody's souls.
Oh my god.
Savas the soul keeper.
Unbrand.
Love it.
I came up with one, just like a voice came to me, and then
what's
character.
The voice?
Do it.
I just, in case we do it, I
and
can't.
And how like Adam Sandler is it?
Not at all. It's a different star of the 90s who is still relevant
today. Paul
Reiser.
Yes,
still relevant. Paul Reiser. Everyone's watching
that's
Mad
coming
About
back.
You.
Mad About You's coming back.
Oh, God, that's right. No, I thought of a voice. I thought of a character I like, but I would be very sad if Juno. The person I'm thinking of is not problematic at all. But I'd
Keanu
be very
Reeves?
That's
whoa.
It's Keanu Reeves!
Who's the least problematic person? It's Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, the voice might sound like that. Yeah.
Strange things are happening at the circle.
Strange things afoot at the circle.
Yeah, I don't want my guy to die right now.
Yeah, but stakes are real. People could die. Just want to remind everybody of that.
Thanks.
Yeah. Dolan's killing me with all my 70 hit points.
Thanks.
Are your hit points affected by you being average now?
Yes, they actually are.
Joel's nearly died a few times.
Has
he?
Five?
Yeah,
like
eight?
A few.
A couple. Every time I look up D&D hashtags, I see all of this really cool art of like raven people.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't know I could be a bird person.
There's so many more races you can play as
there's
now.
A
what
little
the fuck?
Owl person.
My God.
I would be an owl person. You guys can't see it, but I've got a bird keychain coming off of my microphone here. That would be a go-to for me.
Yeah, like if Martin we all played
turn
as like
into a bird.
If we all not played as like a like an anthropomorphic animal.
Maybe
what
that's
would you
our
be?
Twitch one-shot.
Yeah.
I'd be a fox. I
I played a one-shot as a cat person. I loved
it. Yeah, that's
it.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you could be, if your character could be anthropomorphized, what's your furry version of your character?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm a fox. I'm agile.
That works. That makes sense.
And that's about
classic.
It. Classic. Yeah. Yeah, I got a good nose.
Juno would be a really, like, he would be like some kind of lab or like a dog that hangs out with cows, because he couldn't be a cow himself, but like he would be a dog.
A herding
like,
dog?
Yeah, he'd be a herding dog. Because he likes, he's with
be
the
buddies.
Cows.
Buddies with all
that
the cows.
Tracks. I, like Margarine, I'd want her to be a bird person, but like she's not. That just happens to be a cloak that she has. She'd definitely be like a capybara.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Black would maybe be a ferret.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe.
Ooh, I don't know. I feel like Zabbis would be reptilian.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You're the king of the lizards.
That's right. Yeah, I think I would just be a lizard person.
You'd be lizard that lizard king. That can do the thing where its like neck flares out into a big cape.
That's funny.
Is it the same kind? Like, does the one that can run really fast?
You know,
is it the same where its legs look like a
Jesus
fucking windmill?
Lizards?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They run on the sand because it's so hot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
I do that in the summer while I'm playing volleyball.
Your legs are just like one of those lawn ornaments where the legs spin around.
All right, guys, this is going to be a first one. Okay, first thought, best thought. All right.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you have any good kobold names? I recently made a kobold wizard and he needs a name. Do you have any recommendations?
What's
this is from Anthony.
Yeah, what
a kobold is,
is
like a smaller lizard person. So, like, a kobold is to a lizard folk as a goblin is to an orc.
Lock two.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. What?
Lock Zept. Two.
Lock two, Zept.
Trake. Damn it, that's so much like Flack.
Just like...
Van.
Van?
Like, tiny percussive names work for small lizards, I think.
Blip.
Yeah.
Blip is nice.
Blip's cute.
Blip. Just Fleek.
Blip. Fleek. Fleek.
He just dabs every
Fleek
time.
Dabs.
Is on Fleek still a thing? I don't know.
No, it's not.
That was
no.
So 2018.
Oh, Jesus.
Or name him something stupid like Couch.
Couch is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
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 Or Handrail.
Cow for short.
Handrail.
Floop.
Oh, man. That's like,
Floop
that's Spy Kids.
Good.
Floop. Yeah. That's
Joel,
that.
We're
Alan
coming
Cumming
up with, Joel went to the bathroom. We're coming up with kobold names.
Smokey.
Smoky.
All
right.
Gurger.
Gurger.
Why do I like that so much?
Because it's what a baby makes.
LL Bean.
LL Bean. LL Bean. The kobold wizard is pretty great.
Michael Kors, the kobold
wizard. Oh my God. But like, now you have to actually talk like Michael Kors when you play as him.
Who's Michael Kors?
He's a designer, but he also is a judge on Project Runway. I love the idea of playing a character that's just Michael Kors because that would be a lot of fun.
This guy's probably like 2 months in his campaign.
Oh, and no thank you to all of
you. Like, I just named him Steve and I could have been Michael Kors.
Well, you have to tell us what your name is. You have to.
Anthony, email
Anthony.
Us or tweet at us and tell us what
tweet,
your kobold
tweet,
wizard's name
tweet.
Is and why it should be Gurger.
Gurger. Gurgers.
It's the back of the throat noises.
That's what it is.
Name him. You can't pronounce it in your
gross.
English language.
G-H-L-U-L.
I do want to address this one. This one's from Nathaniel, who pointed out that we have, he says, in my campaign, I love playing off critical fails, and it's so disappointing when the halfling in the party rolls a one and just re-rolls.
Sup?
I've been trying to think of a way to get rid of halfling luck, but still give some kind of boost to even things out. I have noticed that Beth has taken nat ones multiple times without re-rolling. So my question is, how do you guys handle halfling luck? Do you have a house rule in place? Do you just void the effect, or did you just forget it was a thing?
What's I didn't happening? Know that was a thing.
Yeah,
so,
what?
Tell us.
The true, honest answer is I didn't know it was a thing.
There it is.
But I don't want to retcon and like have halfling lunk moving forward. I like more of the idea that Marjorie is so old and has done so many things in her life that at some point she lost her luck. Like, either by swearing it away to some demon, or she just used it up in her life. She was too greedy with her luck points,
so
to
speak.
Oh, yeah,
it's like you've got a halfling half-life, and at 400 years, you've used it up.
I like that. Halfling Half-Life. Wait, what'd you say?
Half-Life. It's almost like in Skyrim. Because in Skyrim, when you do the Thieves Guild thing, there's like the goddess of like basically luck, mm-hmm. where if you like betray her, then you stop having good luck and everything goes shitty for you.
Yeah, like Marjorie has something in her past that has caused her to lose her luck.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll get it back one day.
Oh.
Probably not, though.
Maybe not.
Also, just, I don't know. I feel like critical fails are more fun.
Yeah.
So
if it's
much
not
going to
kill your character, which it probably isn't, because I
there,
feel like
there was one critical fail that probably should have killed Juno.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In season one, there
was when it when he fell?
Yeah.
It was when you fought the owl bear in episode one.
No, it was
one.
A time.
I can picture
that.
God,
that's right.
Yeah, it's like the first role.
That was so when like, you were
crossing a bridge.
Yeah, on the way to the Feywild, or maybe we were in
But that would have been the lamest death.
Yeah, exactly. It would not have been satisfying.
That's kind of part of it, too, is it's like you're making up a story together, so if someone dying at a moment is just not fulfilling.
Yeah,
and like fuck it, don't have, just, you know,
this
it's fine.
Yeah, I think this is one of those situations where like you gotta do what's fun for your table, mm-hmm. and if ones are fun and ones are fun for us, like I think all of us can agree that we enjoy a one
it's the best
when it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you know, if whoever's playing your halfling wants to inject that into their game, then do it. Just do it.
Didn't we get roll a bunch of ones when we were trying to get on that ship?
Yeah, I was
like constantly failing to get back on the boat.
I think it's so much more fun. And also, you can bend the rules a bit.
Every time it's with water, we're real bad.
Yeah. It's fun to just visualize what's happening and how stupid we all must look to
That's
viewer.
So like, I feel like this really emphasizes differences in play style because we've kind of bent things to make the narrative more interesting and more fun for us to play. But then, like, I have a cousin who plays D&D who plays it to the letter,
follows Adventure
the
League
rules.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I could never play like that. That'd be so hard.
I'd be the worst player.
I would be, I barely remember the rules. Playing
to this day, we always ask, like, oh, wait, how do we battle?
How do we roll for initiative? Yeah, so.
And their rules have gotten kind of looser and looser as we go, but I think that's fine. I mean,
role-playing.
Yeah, and what we're doing is a little bit different because we're making something that's meant for consumption.
Yeah.
But still, at the end of the day, I really think that your job as a DM is to make sure that everybody at the table is having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever that means for you is the right way to play. You know, whoever's sitting around your table, if they want to play with ammunition and supplies and food and shit like that, then great, do that. But we don't. and
well, we sort of play with food.
We sort of play with food. That's true. But in a very different way.
I think maybe sit down with your halfling and figure out with them what a nice system would be. Because maybe like they get 10 luck points that they get to use or not use depending on the situation. But after that, it's gone.
Yeah, it can be something similar to like the luck feat or like Flax Lucky Pick, which is just a magic item that imitates the luck feat.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. Yeah, I think, you know, work out what makes it fun for you, for the rest of the players, and especially for the player who's playing your halfling.
I like that expression, like, sit down with your halfling.
Yeah, like you and your
like,
halfling.
Like talking to your inner child or just like a part of yourself that is the halfling.
I'm going to knock out a couple that are just for me real quick. Will you release the tables for the bone dice, like what each roll does? This is from Brit. No, I won't. It's a pretty standard 6x6 table. Make your own.
Damn, Gressel Dad coming out.
Not even on the Patreon.
There's spoilers. Garrett asks, how much do you plan? How much is improv? For example, did the vial... Oh, we answered this one.
Mm-hmm.
How much of a map do you develop ahead of time? Do you have a physical one drawn out? This is also from Britt. I have a map that basically is enough for me to know where stuff is in relation to other things. But that's really more for me to know regionally where food comes from. the food is now going forward is a bigger part of like the world. So I've really tried to draw on like real world influences for regional foods.
Hey, I have a question.
Sure.
Has that been a challenge for you to integrate that more this season?
Great question.
Yes.
Good question.
Yeah, it has. The thing that's been really frustrating for me, I love the mechanic that I thought of with the journal, of giving kind of like a menu for you guys to pick from. But I am worried about pigeonholing myself into a corner based off of what I write in the journal. So for instance, like in Raven's Crest, I was really worried that the Society of the Three-Toed Griffin, the Gentleman's Club, would become a little bit of Poochie's fireworks factory that you guys would never get to, when it seemed like that was more important to the plot than other clues that were in the journal.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't. The important parts of the journal were Percival Stokeworth, and, you know, other details, the sword and things like that. So it is a challenge where I need to make sure that I write it in such a way that it leaves myself enough room to improvise with you guys and change things as I come up with new ideas and stuff like that. But I also want to make sure that that I stick to this device that I created of a food travel log being the key to unlocking this mystery. So that's where that's at.
Did you have a favorite meal this season?
This season?
I have one.
What's yours?
The shrimp.
The shrimp?
Ooh, cocktail. Was good.
Shrimp is good.
Was pancakea this season?
Oh, yeah.
I love pancakea.
That was really good.
Yes, that was also this season.
We have a little list.
The prime rib.
You can look at the Instagram. Follow us on Instagram for pictures of the food.
It's tough to beat.
We've got here pancakea.
The pierogies.
Oh,
pierogis,
yeah.
Cream puffs, roast beef, and shrimp.
The cream puffs were good.
Pierogis are mine.
Pierogis were good. I was really happy with the pierogis.
Yeah. Oh, the roast was good.
Yeah, that was great too.
Yeah.
Little potato show.
I feel like they're all really good.
They're all good.
It's hard to...
There's some good ones coming up, man.
Oh, and wait. The ratatouille.
Did I do ratatouille? Mm-hmm.
There was also the ratatouille.
Yep. There was also the ratatouille.
Ratatouille was not my finest hour. I like ratatouille.
You also gave us bread and oil one time.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, it was good.
Yep. Felt like I was doing hard time and playing D&D.
Not even like a little vinaigrette?
He put some balsamic vinegar out there and said that he
don't
hated
like
it.
Balsamic.
I love balsamic vinegar.
That's fine. I ate all that fucking crap.
Ooh, hand it over. You can have my rosemary. I'll take your balsamic.
Great. Deal.
Oh.
There's some really good ones coming up, though. I'm excited for... We're going to get into some more not English food.
Yay.
No offense to England.
It's just, we there's so much of it.
Yeah, so we're going to get into... yeah, there's a lot of really cool possibilities coming forward. I'm really excited about it. So...
I'm glad we started with Raven's Crest.
Yeah, I am too. I think it was a really good... a really good first adventure for this new thing going forward.
Yeah, hopefully the next two places we go will change. I'll be able to change back.
Yeah.
To me.
We don't know how that's going to resolve yet.
Nope. I'm still...
Average.
Roop.
Is Roop handsome?
No.
No, he's not.
He looks like Timothy Spall.
Google that real quick.
He's Wormtail from Harry Potter.
No!
Yes.
Well, Timothy Spall is great. Let's not understand.
But Wormtail from Harry Potter, nasty. Doesn't even have two hands.
Oh, the guy, his name Sweeney Todd is like the same role.
Never seen Sweeney Todd.
He's kind of the same role in Enchanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, he is.
Oh, no, the movie.
He does a lot of gremlins.
Yeah, kind of Weasley guys.
No, he's in something else.
He's not like,
he's not
a...
He's just perfect as, like, Dickensian in London.
He's not Alan Rickman's little, like, toady and Sweeney Todd.
I don't know.
Alan Rickman was in that?
In Todd? He's great in it. Wow. That movie's actually very good.
It's very entertaining.
I saw it in theaters. I just I didn't.
That's, like, good. It's good Tim Burton.
Yeah?
Yeah.
There are a couple questions. Noah and Kevin asked what everybody's favorite moment was. Kevin asked, what is your favorite moment and why is it the journey down the river ending in the pointless destruction of water? That was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it was, let's never do those things to dogs again, but that was pretty funny.
Absolutely not. I like being contentious with Zabbis. Like Margarine having a problem with Zabbis and fighting with him. But it's all petty. It's never direct.
It's very good. Generational. I kind of like
that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited for different. I haven't thought about it that way. Like, we've had this split of, like, the party before, and I liked it, but I also want to, like, see what happens when different characters who mm-hmm. aren't often paired up pair up.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we had that discovery with the F-Boys this season.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the Z-Man.
Z-Man came in late. Z-Man was like album two or three.
I don't get paired up. I'm a loner.
That's true.
It was really the F-Boys featuring Z-Man.
Yeah.
F-Boys with special guest star Z-Man.
I do love Z-Man, though, as a thing.
Well, thanks to everybody who submitted questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If we didn't get to your question, I'm sorry.
Tweet at us.
Tweet at me, because I don't.
Go to the fucking subreddit.
Oh, yeah, subreddit. Let's post. It's r/dndndpod. Please, everybody, join it. And there are weekly episodic discussions that are posted
from the sidebar.
Jeez,
that are posted by
Parakeet.
Yep. Parakeet is on top of the subreddit. They post memes, they post a bunch of stuff. I'm online mostly on Reddit. I don't go on Twitter.
Yeah, me too.
So
I'm always on Reddit.
Yeah, so I always try to check out the subreddit. So please,
dude, you should come to my subreddit.
You should be a mod on your own subreddit.
I'm trying.
Wow,
Chelsea's a mod on the D&D pod. What the fuck?
She was a mod like 2 months ago.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah, dude.
But also, Will Bros Inc., who's a Dead Meat fan, and Triceratops Wall.
Yes.
That's me.
That's Joel.
Oh, okay. I was like, who the fuck is that?
So it's Will. It's from when I was in New York and I haven't changed it.
So Will is the one doing all the work on this subreddit.
And Parakeet, too. Don't forget Parakeet.
Oh, yeah.
Parakeet's great.
So please join the subreddit. It's great. We have some users. We have some user interaction. It's great. Please join.
Well, thanks to everybody who submitted questions. Some people who submitted questions that we didn't get to for one reason or another. Justin, Boxbow, Caitlin, Tilly, Jack.
Captain Rail,
Claire, Alyssa, Anya, Hannah, Lauren, Evan,
Henry.
You got Kayla and Jeremiah and Kale. Did you say that?
Kale.
I said it first.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone who submitted questions. So we're going to get started with season 3 next. So we're going to join the team back up, where they're going to try to figure out how to turn Fletch back into Fletch, I would assume, is the immediate priority.
I kind of like the new the new look. I like him now.
New Fletch killed Cher Jair.
Yeah, I have zero stats. Please help.
I didn't know he was so ugly.
Yes,
Marjorie would have reacted stronger had she known how not Fletch like he was. Because Rupert's always been like a buttoned up butler, like a lean but older, dignified man to me.
That's what I thought too.
What, like a Charles Dance?
Sure.
Not like an Alfred.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, like a young Alfred.
Like a Wilfred.
Like a 40-year-old Alfred.
Batman. Yeah.
That's young for us 30-year-olds.
Oh, boy.
Or old people.
Well, that wraps up this. So, looking forward to getting into season 3. I have so many really great ideas. I just want to share them with you guys.
When are we starting? When are we recording next?
August, when James and Chelsea are free again.
Yeah.
And you guys are going somewhere first weekend?
Mm-hmm. First weekend of August, we're gone, but we will be back.
Yeah. So we'll be back with season 3 in August of 2019. So,
ready.
I also, we didn't really talk about this. We've been doing this for 2 years.
Hey!
Wow.
Oh, cool.
There it is. 2 years.
We've been releasing episodes for a little over a year now, but we've been playing the game for over 2 years. So wow. I just want
to. It doesn't feel like that.
No, it doesn't.
Mark that time.
Wow. Wow, team.
Yeah.
We've come a long way.
And we're still friends.
Yeah.
we did it.
We did it.
Hey.
But one of you is going to die.
No. Oh,
I poisoned your beer.
Yeah, Rupert will die.
Rupert will die again.
And then Fletch
will
be reborn.
How many times can you kill Rupert?
We've killed him three times, I think. We've killed a couple of his clones. We've killed...
Like, a Rupert should come back in season 5. Just gets killed again.
Yeah.
Ew.
Keep it going.
All right. Well, that's it for this one.
Cool. What a sign off. Well, that's it for this one. Well.
So, thanks, everybody. Do what's fun.
Thank you.
Do what's fun.
Thank you.
What's fun, please. Ew.
D&D is executive produced, written, and edited by me, James Gressel. Co-produced and additional mixing by Joel Arnold. Our original music is by Jeremy Nisato. Hear more of Jeremy's music at jeremynisato.com. D&D is performed by James A. Janisse, Chelsea Rebecca, Beth Radloff, Mike Saigan, and Joel Arnold.